This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And in studio is Collis Benton Temple, Jr., first African-American to play basketball at LSU when he arrived at the Old War School exactly 50 years ago, enrolled in the summer of 1970. I think there were fewer than 100 African-American students on campus. That has changed. And, of course, now race has become an issue not only at LSU, but across the country, and for good reason. It was 6 weeks ago today that George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis, and we'll talk about that and the implications. He changed the world with his death, and it's affected LSU with the removal of Troy Middleton's name from the library, and some wonder what comes next. But Collis Temple is now a member of the Board of Supervisors, appointed along with Jim Bernhardt, two LSU grads who are, of course, prominent business people in the community and both very passionate about the future of their alma mater. And good morning to you, Collis Temple, Jr.
How you doing this morning, Jim? I'm certainly glad to be able to share this opportunity to be on air this morning with you. And I'm really excited and elated about the future of Louisiana State University.
Well, John Bel Edwards made this decision to put Collis Temple on the board, and it is interesting because it was 50 or 51 years ago that another governor named John McKithen, made the decision. It was John McKithen who made that decision, not Press Maravich, to integrate the LSU basketball team. And I remember Governor McKithen told me he went to see your father, who wasn't all that keen about you coming to LSU, and talked him into giving him the opportunity to make his pitch. And as they say, the rest is history.
Well, I've talked to you about the history of my involvement with LSU as it relates to my family. My dad wanted to come to LSU in the mid-50s, early to mid-50s, to go to grad school to get a degree in ag economics. And he was rejected, and several times was rejected, and ended up going to Michigan State to go to school. And so at that time, there was some major things going on as it relates to segregation. And LSU just was not in the process of having African-American people matriculate on its campus. So he had to go away to Michigan State. And then, of course, as things would have it, John McKithen contacted my dad and myself, my family, and recruited me to come to play basketball 12 or 13 years after my dad finished his advanced degree from Michigan State.
And to think about it, your senior year would have been 1973?
Senior year at LSU,
73-74. So he was the first, the pioneer. And 7 years later, just 7 years after Collis Temple was the first player to be African-American on the basketball team, Dale Brown went to the Final Four with an all-black starting lineup, and most of the other players were African-American, too. The world changed that quickly.
Very quickly. And, of course, Dale Brown was a trailblazer within himself, and he was more committed to winning than he was worrying about the color of an athlete's skin. He just had a commitment to being champion, to championship efforts. Mm-hmm. So he went out and tried to get the best players he could get, and it didn't matter whether they were black, blue, white, polka dot. He just wanted to get the best players, and it just so happened that he put together a team that had to be, that was, you know, all black, and they did very, very well.
And the coach who preceded Press Maravich, and of course it enabled Press to come to LSU and bring Pete with him, but it was a guy named Frank Truitt who he left. He wasn't fired. He left after 1 year because he wanted to recruit Elvin Hayes and Don Chaney and was told he couldn't.
That's a fact. Elvin Hayes, who is one of the greatest players that's ever played in the NBA and obviously one of the greatest players that ever played in college, was from Rayville. And he ended up going to play for Guy Lewis at the University of Houston. And he was a hero of mine. I wanted to be like Elvin Hayes and go to Houston or maybe go to Kansas like Wilt Chamberlain did. Had an opportunity to go to those schools, but ended up coming to LSU. And, of course, Don Chaney was half a block away from Louisiana State University. He'd gone to McKinley High School. And he ended up going to the University of Houston and then was on some world championship teams with the Boston Celtics.
And they almost won championships at the University of Houston. 877-217-5757 is your number. And talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address if you'd like to engage Collis Temple, who was a trailblazer. But things were not all rosy when you arrived at LSU. You faced discrimination, not only on campus, but you've talked about when you went off campus, there were places where you couldn't even eat a meal.
That's correct. Things were still very, very segregated, and public access to being a part of being able to matriculate to venues where food was sold, and in fact, just social functions, the Cotton Club, the Common Ground, and those kind of places that were lined up on Highland Road, they weren't allowing black folk to come in, and certainly not a black, tall, highly visible guy like myself. So, I was rejected and wasn't allowed to come into those places. And some of my teammates really wanted to do that and carry me around and get me involved in the social fabric of the community. But I wasn't allowed to go into those facilities. And I ended up on the north side of town in Scotlandville at places where I was welcome near Southern University.
While you were attending LSU.
That's correct.
And you've told the story before, and times were different then, but you were urged not to date white girls?
I was urged not to date white girls, and candidly, I was urged not to date white girls by my dad. And what he said mattered and was the law, and so I just followed the law. He was the law in my life.
But you were also urged by some LSU people not to do that.
Yeah, there were some concerns with some of the folk who worked at LSU in the athletic department that I make sure I stayed in my lane, and I understood that, and that was just a fact of life at the time.
Barry in Mid-City. Barry, you're first up with Collis Temple. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for inviting me, and good morning, Collis. It's great to hear your voice. I just was wondering if you could pass a magic wand over the United States of America today to help us all get along a little better. What would be the one thing that you would like to do, please?
Well, the thing that's important is that from my perspective as it relates to, I generally relate a lot of things to athletics. And if you reflect on about 7 or 8 months ago, if you reflect on what happened at Louisiana State University on the gridiron, when you see people come together like that team came together, you ultimately win. You ultimately win. And the thing that we want to see is we want to see everyone win. And so if I could wave a magic wand, I would for certain try to make sure that social unrest is dealt with from everybody's perspective so that we can all win. And I know it's relatively idealistic for me to say this, but everybody's on the same page. We're all in the same boat. If the boat has some holes in it, it's everybody's job to try to plug those holes up and make sure that we're able to get to where we're trying to get to.
Well, I made note of George Floyd dying exactly 42 days ago at the knee of a white police officer who's now in jail and charged with murder. In a story in the New York Times yesterday, Isabel Wilkerson, America's Enduring Caste System, she puts it this way: we saw a man face down on the pavement, pinned beneath a car, and above him another man, a man in uniform, his skin lighter than the man on the ground. And the lighter man was bearing down on the darker man, his knee boring into the neck of the darker man, the lighter man's hands in his sides and his pockets. Could it be that his hands were so nonchalantly in his pockets? Such was the ease and casual calm, the confidence of embedded entitlement with which he was able to lord over the darker man. That sight has changed the world. Do you think it's been largely for the better?
I think that as time moves along, we will realize and respect the fact that it probably is the best thing for us as a people, because what it did was it opened the eyes of so many people who really were not aware of how difficult things are across the spectrum. And so it's opened up a lot of dialogue. It's gotten people to think about what we need to do collectively. And it's clearly brought out some wounds that are very, very deep and are very difficult to discuss. But it's important that these things are discussed, because you can't get better. You can't get better unless you address problems.
877-217-5757 is your number. Collis Temple, brought to LSU by Governor John McKithen 50 years ago and appointed a few days ago to the LSU board by Governor John Bell Edwards. We're back after this 90-second pause with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Collis Temple, pride of Kentwood, Louisiana, came to LSU 50 years ago, first black to play basketball at LSU. Now the basketball team is like the football team, almost 90% African-American, sometimes more than that. And it is largely through the contributions of black players that LSU has been to three Final Fours since Collis Temple arrived 50 years ago. And LSU has won three national championships in football since Collis Temple arrived. 877-217-5757 for Collis Temple, now an LSU Board of Supervisors member, an at-large member. He has a two-year term, which means his term will expire when John Bell Edwards is still in office, and then it would seem the governor would be likely to appoint him to another 6 years. So we're looking at the possibility of this man being on the board until at least he is 75 years old. He's done a lot for LSU. He lives right off campus on Dalrymple Drive. He had two sons star in basketball, Collis III and Garrett, who continues to play in the NBA, one of a handful of LSU players to have played a decade in the NBA. And another son, Elliot, who's done well in life. And a daughter, who was with us not so long ago, Colleen, who probably will be president of the United States someday. Is she going to come to LSU? Is this going to change her mind?
She's a special person. We won't be able to change Colleen's mind. She's really excited about getting the opportunity to go to the University of Hawaii, which is a long ways away.
Is she going to Hawaii?
She committed to the University of Hawaii, and one of the things that A couple of things about the University of Hawaii. One is they're always in the top 10 or 15 in the country, and they average about 6,000 to 8,000 people to volleyball games. So she's really excited about that. And I've chatted with her and said, well, you know, what about, I know you want to get some things done in the U.S., and she said, well, you know, Hawaii is a part of the U.S., and I can always come back and go to law school at Howard or at Yale or at Harvard or at LSU, and she has a political future, I think. She wants to help make things better.
Carl in Mid-City. Good morning, Carl. You're on Talk Louisiana. Carl, can you pull him up? There you go. Carl, good morning to you. Carl in Ascension Parish.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Carl.
Hello, Collis.
Hey, Carl. That's my teammate, I think. Carl Senior.
Yeah.
That's him, buddy.
Great,
yeah, we were
great
teammates.
Man. Great man.
We were teammates all 4 years. Congratulations on your appointment, Collis.
Thank you, Carl.
I love seeing you always getting getting accolades and getting the opportunities. What a lot of people don't know is when you were at LSU, the one thing that always impressed me was you were one of the best students on our team. And in addition to that, what you end up getting your master's, and then both of your sons have pretty much done the same thing. I know Collis III was probably one of the few athletes in the country that while he was still playing was actually working on his doctorate because he'd already gotten his master's while he was playing.
That's true.
So well, education has been a great part of Collis's life, starting with his mom and dad, and I'm glad to see him on the board.
Carl, when you were playing, how did the team react with Collis being the first African American? How were his teammates, you included?
I'm from St. Louis, and at that time, I didn't give a damn what color somebody was if they could play ball. Obviously, we had a lot of boys from Louisiana that might not have felt the same. But I can honestly say I never really saw any dissension. I didn't see any divisions. When Collis got in trouble, we backed him up. Didn't see any deferential treatment. I mean, we were all just guys trying to play and trying to win.
That's right. And Collis was known to get in a fistic encounter every now and then, right?
That's true. And Carl was there every step of the way. When I got into it with Lynn Kosmoski when we were freshmen at playing Tennessee and Tulane, when I got into it, Carl was there. When we got into it against Auburn, when we got into it against Vanderbilt, Carl was always there with me. And so, we had a great ride. We didn't win any championships, but we built relationships that have lasted a lifetime.
You made an impression. I think Jan Van Predikoff, who's a pretty good player, as we know. Didn't he get a lacerated kidney, something like that?
Yeah,
I think so. Tony in Mid-City. Thank you, Carl. Tony, you're on with Collis Temple. Good morning to you. Tony?
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Yes. How are you?
Fine. What's on your mind?
Collis Temple, I want to congratulate you for another looking pop and milestone in this state and the city of Baton Rouge.
All right.
Collis, are you there?
I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah. I just called in to say hello to my friend and to congratulate you on another milestone. And there's one thing I did want to ask you. We were talking about the wounds that were opened and the dialogue that has begun to take place in this country that surrounds the racism piece.
Uh-huh.
What do you think is important for us as a black community to pool our resources, pool our energy, and do something for our own community?
Well, the thing that's most significant is the fact that we have to keep the peace as it relates to being educated, being informed, having an understanding and a perspective about the big picture, and not get bogged down in things that really will not make a difference. And, of course, obviously education, exposure, work, the idea of moving forward and not getting hung up on the past. You cannot change what took place in the past. You really can't change what's taking place currently. The only thing you can do is make a difference in the future. And if we keep that in mind and move forward rather than get bogged down into negative and problematic issues, and look at the big picture, we can always get things accomplished so that our children and grandchildren can have a healthier life. Things are going to change because that's just the way things move.
One of my favorite writers, Ed Pratt in St. George. Good morning, Ed.
How you doing, Collis?
Hey, Ed. You still playing at St. Agnes, man? You still playing pickup?
Look, dude, I was calling you about that. What was it like to get off the campus and come to St. Agnes back in the 70s and play basketball with some guys who just saw you as 6'7" or 6'8"? You were just another ball player out there. How did that relieve you to do those type of things? And talk again about your daughter, who I have interviewed and is very impressive, not only in her politics, but just being a young woman.
Well, it was important to me to move around in the community. And I know the community at the time was very, very segregated and very separated. And I made sure that I put forth an effort to be a part of where I came from. And where I came from is the black community. And so I wanted to make sure that I stayed in touch, stayed in contact. And the best way for me to do that was to go down to Buchanan and go behind Dufrock and play pickup ball. And I had these relationships with guys like yourself and Jerry Jingles and Leon Paul and Darryl Glasper and Andre Turner and Bobby Chile at Southern University. I made sure that I stayed involved in some of the best players in Baton Rouge. And consequently, that's what I did. My teammates were good players. Guys like Carl Sener and Apple Sanders were great players. But my real, I guess, sincerely, one of my purposes was to bridge the gap and bring folk together so we could all have a positive outlook and perspective on what was really going on.
And your daughter? We mentioned her once, but it's worth doing again.
I mean, I love Colleen like I love life. Colleen is a wonderful young lady. She's very progressive-minded. She's extremely bright. She's going to have a high measure of successes in her life. And I, you know, I try to motivate her, and her mom is really a bright, bright woman. You know, she's a judge, and so Colleen is well-read, and we're just happy that she understands what's in front of her and what she has to do to make her life better and make life better for other people.
Thank you, Ed Pratt. 877-217-5757 is your number. When we come back, we'll start with David in Atlanta, Collis Temple with us for another segment, then Senator Beth Mizell, the number two person in the upper chamber. Broadband legislation of significance was passed, and many years ago, Bobby Jindal rejected $80 million from the federal government for expansion of broadband in Louisiana. We'll talk with Beth Mizell, but more with Collis Temple after the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Collis Temple with us for a bit longer. 877-217-5757 is your number. And as always, we enjoy your participation, and we might be able to get to a few emails as well at talk@talklouisiana.org. And the couple of weeks ago now, the LSU name of Troy Middleton, the general who was president of LSU for more than a decade, his name was removed from the library. He had written a letter in 1961, just as he was walking out the door as president, stating that he intended to keep LSU's athletic programs all white, that in fact he would not even tolerate blacks and whites swimming in the same swimming pool at LSU. And he's gone, and now the question is, what happens next? Do we take others off buildings, or are we going to stop there, Collis?
There's a time, a place, and a space for everything in this thing called life. Troy Middleton, his name and his involvement with LSU ran its course, and obviously people in the decision-making capacities decided that he had run his course, and now we're moving on to a new place and space at LSU, and we need to make sure that we make healthy, competent decisions to fill those spaces and fill those places.
All right, one at a time then. One at a time.
One at a time.
Okay.
I'm happy that I was able to be selected to be a part of the LSU Board of Supervisors by a guy who I think is a tremendous person. John Bellette was a very progressive-minded man, very bright man, has a lot of nerve and a lot of good qualities, and I just appreciate him asking me to serve as a part of this body. It's a real critical time. We have to make some major decisions. The first thing we have to do is get the best capable person to run this flagship, be the captain of this flagship. So either the presidency or the chancellor position has to be put in place, and we need to get it done quickly. With COVID still in front of us and with all of the other social challenges that we have in front of us, we need to make some quick decisions so we can get a quality person to man up and take care of what needs to be taken care of in the leadership role of Louisiana State University.
Sometimes people join these important bodies and they're largely silent. For example, Clarence Thomas has only spoken a few times in almost 30 years on the Supreme Court. But I have a feeling that Collis Temple and Jim Bernhardt will be speaking quite a bit.
Well, the reality of it is I'm happy about this for myself, but I'm equally happy with Jim. Jim is a very progressive man. He's a hard-hitting, power guy in the business community, and it's good to have people like that in places to be decision makers. Because the thing about Jim Bernhardt is he will make a decision, and sometimes the decisions are hard decisions to make, but he moves forward, and he's clearly a very forward-thinking guy.
David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on Talk Louisiana with Collis Temple.
Good morning, gentlemen. The voice is very scratchy. I hope everyone could hear me okay.
You're fine.
I'd like to tell you a guess. I heard the great, late Buck O'Neill, who was a champion player in the Negro Leagues, he said, it was on the Letterman Show many years ago, that he resented not being able to play baseball when he was in high school because of his skin color. But he didn't resent not being in the Baseball Hall of Fame because he had a chance. I'm glad this gentleman, your guest, had a chance to play at a state university. But I deeply regret many talented athletes, African-Americans before him, never had that chance. And I hope America has learned something from this.
I'd like to make a response to that. Equally, but more importantly, is the fact that there are so many people who are talented in engineering, talented in the arts, talented in mathematics, talented in science, that missed the opportunity to be a part of this great LSU fabric, which consequently didn't allow them to do well in Louisiana because mm-hmm. they left. And so with this brain drain that's taken place historically, I'm just glad that we're able to be a part of trying to right that ship and make sure that we get the best and brightest of everything. You know, when you think about LSU and you think about a $2 billion budget and you think about the LSU football team and what gets so much attention, I think we need to make sure we focus on the best and brightest across the globe, not just in athletics, but on the academic side of the equation, because at the end of the day, that's what's important.
Darlene at Highland Coffees. Hello, Darlene. You're on Talk Louisiana with Collis Temple.
Hi, this is Darlene. And Collis, I don't know if you remember our Katrina workshops held 1 year after Hurricane Katrina at the Catholic Life Center. Mm-hmm. You were crucial in getting people to the workshops through the buses from Harmony House.
Sure.
And our research, which has been well published, shows that bringing people together helps people recover from trauma. So I want to thank you for your role in that, and I hope that while you're on the board, you'll be able to do more things to bring people together.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Darlene. 877-217-5757. Still time to get in under the wire with Collis Temple and then Beth Mizell. Jim on Lee Drive. Jim, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Collis. So proud of you. And from your lofty 6'8" or 10 or 7 foot height, what could be done better for mental health in this community? I know you're involved with that. And my second question is, why isn't there a biracial committee in this town to look at the overall problems and consider it peacefully rather than have all these fragmented groups that are going around?
Well, as it relates to mental health, I think probably the best place we're at in this community is we put together a tax and got it passed to put in place the Bridge Center. And I think it's going to be the mantra for mental health in our community, because it'll take people that are the sickest folk, and rather than take those people and incarcerate them, we'll take those people and be able to matriculate them through a mental health system that will help to cure their ills rather than lock them away, which is obviously not the right thing for people who have mental illness. To answer the second part of your question, I think that the effort for everybody is to look at a collective effort, but at the same time provide the leadership. And I think Ms. Broom is trying to move in that direction. She's put some things together that I think are going to be effective, and hopefully we'll all share in that and be a part of it and not be so fragmented. But just like in any other society, you're going to have individuals that have one mindset and other individuals that have a different mindset. So you're going to have those kind of things. The great thing about it is it's being put on our conscience and our mind currently. And so hopefully we'll move forward and make things better and healthier for everybody.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Stephen Dixon, fine attorney, says, what precisely are the holes in the boat that need to be plugged in order for everyone to win?
Well, to recognize the importance and take advantage of the importance of education, to take advantage of the importance of becoming more enlightened about issues, trying to make sure that you understand both perspectives. You don't have to agree, but it's important to be able to agree to disagree on issues and just move forward. in terms of particular things, everybody is aware of the social injustices that have taken place in the past. And so you can either dwell on them or you can do something about them by moving forward and becoming enlightened and involved. You need to go. First thing you need to do from a social perspective, in my opinion, is when you turn 18 years old, you need to become a registered voter and you need to go vote and participate.
Dale Brown writes, congratulations, Collis, for your appointment to the LSU board. You followed Dr. Martin Luther King's advice, we shall overcome. Very proud of you, and you've come from great genes who paved the way for you. The path was far from easy, but you never flinched. Coaching you was a delight because you always gave your best effort on the court and in the classroom. Bravo from Coach Brown.
I still will never forget Coach Brown for forcing me to be the captain of the team, and we didn't even have a team meeting my junior year.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Temple. Given your emphasis on academics, if there are budgetary considerations, would you be willing, as a Board of Supervisors member, to vote to move money from athletics to building a new library?
That's a consideration. I could not say that's something that ought to happen. I was in a conversation with some of the Louisiana State University donors a few days ago, and they talked about this fact, and you have to take this into consideration. When you talk about building a new library, you're talking about bricks and mortars. It's a large sum of money to build a new library. So do you want to build a new library to have a monument? Because the truth of the matter is, because of technology, everything is at your fingertips. So the strategy on exactly what you want to get done has to be considered and put in place. Now, should we use resources from the athletic program to shore up the academic opportunities at LSU? I think so.
Willie in North Baton Rouge, please be brief, Willie.
Yes, Carlos, this is Willie Bethley.
What's your question, Willie?
My question is, well, Carlos did a lot for bringing blacks and whites together on different boards. Also, he was very positive in helping blacks get involved in the business world in the Baton Rouge area and brought in a lot of great things for kids.
What can you do to continue that?
Well, we need to be active, and we need to make sure that people are inclusive across the spectrum, both young people and middle-aged people and older people.
We'll be back after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster wrapping it up with Collis Temple, and then we hear from Beth Mizell, who is from Franklinton, not far from Collis's old stomping grounds of Kentwood. They know each other, and we'll talk about Senate Bill 406, which was successful and should provide broadband to people in rural areas, something that is overdue in our great state. Collis Temple, 61 days away from the start of the football season. Are we going to be kicking off LSU September 5th against Texas San Antonio? Is that going to happen?
We all hope that it happens. It's going to be a different kind of situation because I don't think this COVID is going to voluntarily go away. But it's going to be a challenge for everyone, and particularly athletics as it relates to football across the country. It's going to be a difficult, very challenging set of circumstances.
Well, we look forward to having you back many times, as you have been through the years, and probably for the next 8 years, Collis Benton Temple will be a member of the LSU Board of Supervisors.
I appreciate it. Tell Miss Mizell, my homegirl, I said hello.
Well, she's right here. Thank you, Collis. See you soon. See you at Louis.